to talk about the knowledge of sin this morning. It's something that the world just doesn't like to be confronted with. Nobody likes to see their issues and problems brought before their face. But the fact remains is that one day we will stand before God with those things. And so what God is trying to get us to see now is the type of person that we are, who we are in His sight, and to think that can we really stand before Him on Judgment Day. And so He gives us this thing called the knowledge of sin, which He gave to His people for so many years, and they missed it. Because they thought because of the law, they thought that that's what made them right in the sight of God. That's what made them special in the sight of God. And see, we don't struggle with the law the way that they did in the early church. Now the ones that want to go by the law, then they can go to Judaism. If they want to bring together the church and the law, there's denominations that sadly do that. And then if you just want to push all the law aside and don't pay any attention to anything from the Old Testament, there's New Testament only congregations out there. So you have all these things that are put before us, but the thing that we forget is that the knowledge of sin that God has given us in our life. And the problem is that it is easier for me to see your problems than it is for me to see my own, and vice versa, okay? Because when you look at me and I look at you, we know things about people. And so what we should be more concerned about is that what our problems are and not what other people's problems are, because God is working on His people, all right? And we have Romans chapter 7, and Larry is going over Romans on Wednesday night, and he's doing a tremendous job. I've already told him that the next book that he does, he's going to have to start recording the lessons that he does, because they're that good. And people that come on Sunday morning don't come on Wednesday night, and vice versa. And then we have service, and so, but those lessons need to be where people can hear them. I wasn't able to come this Wednesday, and so I missed it. And he does such a great job. But one of the things that Romans did is it hounded on the fact that the Jews thought that because they had the law of God, that they were okay with God, and they didn't need Christ. And the problem with that is that now in the church, a lot of us think that because we have become Christians, that we no longer need Christ. And we don't say it that way, but what we say is we start talking about who we are and what we've done with our life, and what we don't realize what we're doing is the knowledge of sin. The only thing that God ever showed us about ourselves was that we were sinners in need of a Savior. Look at the conversations that were had in Job and with David. These people were not lifted up because of the people that they were. They were lifted up because of their humility that they brought before God. All God ever showed us was our own sin and asked us, do you want to do something about that before you stand before me? Because really, I can't make you do anything about this. But God and God's Word brings it front and foremost to your sight. And I've already said, people don't like that. They don't like when Jesus' banner is waved in their face. They don't like when their faults are brought forefront. They don't like it. But when we read Scripture, if we don't understand the one thing that God is trying to get us to see above anything else is the knowledge of sin. And He's talking about our own sin. All those stories that we read, all those things that we do, and we're going through, we flip from this book to this book, from this page to this page, all of it is trying to show us the knowledge of sin. Look, Romans 7:21 through 25, it says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and brings me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I don't know what happened with you when you became a Christian. I don't know what changed in your life, but there was always one thing that was imposed upon me. And the reason was this, is because all my life I had people around me at various times, because I went to different congregations as I was a child, and I had people that would reach out to me and try to make me a better person. And I thought that God died for more than to just make me a better person. God died for more than just to remove sin from my life. You know how I know that? I mean, that was something that was always a question, but I got proof of that now. You know why? Because God died for more than to bring sin out of my life, because sin is still in my life. And it will always be in my life until I die, because we read scriptures like this because we're still in the flesh. How many people know that when they're dieting that they shouldn't eat, that they shouldn't go out and binge on ice cream and pizza and stuff like that? Well, you know, we have a day for dieters. It's called the weekend. And when the weekend comes, all bets are off. It's, what did you get this for? It's the weekend, man. You know, and so we know better, but we still do it. When we're trying to get up in the morning to go work out. And you know, right now, the best I can do is get out of bed, walk out of the bedroom, down the hallway, down the steps, and there I am. And you know, some days I just can't even do that. I just can't even drag myself out of bed. I know it's the right thing to do. I know what the doctors have told me. I know what I see when I look in the mirror. I know how my clothes are fitting. I know what's going on. And I know what it takes to fix that, but I still can't even bring myself to do it. So if God has told us that the knowledge of sin is to show us that we're sinners, what are we supposed to do with that knowledge? Given the fact that we're still in the flesh and we can't get rid of it. Now that doesn't give us an excuse to continue to sin, okay? Some people might take it as that. But God is putting real things before our face. He's putting real questions proposed to us in our minds and in what we're doing. If by the law is the knowledge of sin, and that sin is the unredeemed flesh, then what can we do with that knowledge? You're sinners. I'm a sinner. And God said that is never going to go away in the flesh. We are not going to come to a place in our life where we think pure, where we act pure, and where we are pure. Because we're going to die. The flesh that we have is corrupt. It's going to come to a place where it ceases to work, and we're just going to fall to the grave. And all that we've done is going to fall with it. And God has said to us that there is a resurrection that takes place in this flesh. And that's through immersion through the Spirit. Blessed is he who takes place in the first resurrection. If God wants to do more for us than just get us to remove sin from our life and be a better person, then I'm going to ask you today, and obviously nobody says anything, but what is your problem today that you're here for God, that He showed you your sin in the flesh, and there's nothing that you can do about it? What is that problem? Do we really believe that we have a problem? Or do we believe we're just here this morning and that we are okay in the sight of God? We are condemned. The only thing that will not condemn us is because of the blood of Christ. That's the only difference. You see, because this right here showing us the knowledge of sin, that we're in the flesh, well, how do you get out of the flesh? It's like putting lotion on. My wife does it faithfully. Every time she gets out of the shower, every time before she goes to bed, and it shows. I don't. And she asks me sometimes, we're laying there, and she's like, do you need some lotion? And I'm laying there, and I'm half asleep, and I don't want to go. I'm just like, no, I'm fine. Do you know if you stop using lotion, you know what happens? You get all dried up again. You see, the sin that's in the flesh is never going to be taken care of until the flesh is taken care of. And so when we try to exalt our life before God and others, And we try to talk about who we are, what we've done, all these things. And we do it, okay? Well, all we're doing is waving a flag that says to the world and to God, hey, look at us. We're sinners. Look at this. Hey, you know what I did with my life? I sinned. That's not the way we say it, is it? That's not the account that we give of, hey, we're sinners. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Our life is not about ourselves. Our life is not about what we've done. We are a reflection of what Jesus Christ has done for us through our life. Because the best that we can hope to show is that we were that person that Jesus came to save. We were vile, we were corrupt, we were sensual, we were ignorant of God's law, we were demanding, we were hateful, we were all those things that God showed us. The best that we can hope to show is that, guess what? We're the person you're looking for, Lord. You're looking for the worst of the worst to save, to give a chance. We're it right here. But see, that's not what we do. When we raise the flag of Jesus, we're like, look at me, look at me. Because see, that's what people see. You have to understand that. I got a good illustration of this in a minute, but that's what people see. They're looking at your life. So I want to show you about the life of those that all of us sitting here can agree these were godly people. Okay? These were people that God had truly redeemed. These were people that God truly these are people that truly live for God. And I think we can agree on that. Do you know that everyone that is born in the flesh has died and they're barely remembered? We talked about that last Sunday, that we were all heading towards the grave. Do you know that there's some people that, actually a lot of people, that just don't even think that Jesus ever even lived? They don't know really much about Him because their parents don't teach them. They don't open the Bible. They just don't care. And so there's going to be a generation of people, whether if they are in the same household or if they're in the same area, there's just simply going to be a generation of people that can be put together that know nothing about Christ. So to them, Christ is barely going to be remembered. The thought of God in their life is barely going to be remembered. But they're all heading towards the grave. John the Baptist, he was given the supreme pleasure to announce, I stand before you today to tell you, here comes the living Christ. Here comes the Son of God that you have been waiting for your entire life. He is about ready to walk through that door, and I want you to prepare yourself because He is coming now. He got the pleasure to announce the coming King. And he even got the greater pleasure, if you can even call it that, He immersed Christ. He showed us the way. The Holy Spirit came upon Christ at that time. It wasn't found at His birth. It was found at John's birth, but not his. And the Holy Spirit came upon him, and John got the supreme pleasure to walk away. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Would you like to have done that? Would you like to have been there to witness that, to see that? We would have thought, man, that would have been great. You know what happened to John? They took him and cut off his head. Woo, John, look at me. I got to announce the King. Hey, everybody. Hey, there's John. He got to, yeah, I did. Come, John, come tell us your story. It wasn't about John. He lost his head. It's about Christ. Jesus came to show us the Father. Man, these people didn't realize, the Jews didn't realize that they served someone who was going to come and walk in their midst, who could look at them and understand them, feel for them, cry with them. They didn't understand that. And when they saw Him, He showed them the Father. John says in the book of John, the Gospel of John, he says that, I came to show the love of God. I came to show the Father. Wow, wouldn't you have liked to have been there to hear that? Do you know that some of the people that heard that, they yelled, crucify Him. We don't want to see the Father. We don't want to hear what you got to say. We don't want you to make us feel bad. We don't want you to remind us of our sin. Crucify him. And so you're the person that gets to show people Christ, gets to show them the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a privilege, right? They nailed him to a tree. The apostles taught the risen Savior. They came out into the group and they told people that they no longer needed to fear death. All of these things, they went out and they continued to preach about Christ who had risen from the grave. What a wonderful thing. To be able to go out into a lost and dying world and save them. You know what that's like? That's like seeing your children grow and teaching them and watching them. And then one day, they're about 17, they come home and they're crying. And you ask them, what's going on? And they tell you a story that you've never heard before. They tell you a story about this boy that they've been friends with, or girl, whatever, they've been friends with since they were about 6 or 7 years old. And the things that you had taught them, they had taught them. And that they had reached out into the community and they had saved a soul. And the reason they were crying today is because that child just lost their life. And they tell you that I'm sad because he's no longer here, but I'm happy because I know that they found the Lord. And you had no idea your child was doing that. Now, Jesus knew the apostles were going to go out into the world to try to save us. But when your child told you that knowledge and told you, you would have been proud of them. All of these apostles were killed because they reached out into the world to save you. And they lost their life. They died bringing us the gospel. Hey, look at me. I'm the apostle. Let's talk about Paul. Hey, you know what we should do? We should put Paul's name on the church. We should put Peter's name on the church. Woo, look at me. Well, no, you should put sinner's name on the church because that's what they did. These were people that the best that they could do, that all that they tried to do, they could never get away from the fact that they were sinners. Because they were forgiven sinners, but they never got away from that. Paul, it plagued him in his ministry all the time that he used to go out and kill Christians. That he tried to stomp out the way. He never got past it. And the best that we could do was wave the flag. Hey, we're sinners. Hey, let me tell you about Christ. We're sinners. I'm the worst vile. Let me tell you about my hateful, ugly life. Let me tell you about Christ. That's not what we do. A lot of times we go in and we think, for some reason, that we're above is somebody, anybody. And that's not true. That is not the case. We like to wave that flag. But all we're doing, remember, is the knowledge of sin. God has shown us that we're sinners. That's what we're showing the world. Then why would we ever hold up our life above others? You see, if you look at the life of Solomon, it's my last slide. Pretty good on time. If you look at the life of Solomon, he was king. And all the riches and the glory and the wisdom from God and the peace and luxury and security that he had, wow. It was the perfect life. It's what we hope for. It's that we come home to a safe place. We have the money to get what we need to get, to live in the house that we want to live in, have the camel that we want to ride around on. All these things, okay? And Solomon had it. He had peace and luxury. And above all those things, he had the wisdom of God. So when someone come to you and they ask you, what would God do in this instance? You could truly tell them because you had the wisdom of God. What a great place to be, right? You see, in the end of Ecclesiastes, I never really understood this when I read Ecclesiastes. It always sounded like a sad book to me. You would have thought it would have been happy because he was the preacher. He was the one that taught the words. He said, I sought for acceptable words to tell the people. And he was a man of God out there working. And he had the wisdom of God. But when I read through Ecclesiastes, it was always a sad book. And I understand why now, because it was written at the end of Solomon's life when he realized that he had sold out God. In the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon realized it was a failed life he was holding up before the world. that of a sinner in need of a Savior. He wasn't showing everybody the king of the world. He wasn't showing everybody the king that had 1,000 women. He wasn't showing the people the king that had all the riches and glory and the greatest, sharpest spears and peace in his lifetime. All that Solomon ever did was show people that he was a sinner. And see, when we understand that, when we read Scripture, we understand that, that should bring about a humility in us, because we should never be in a place where we should exalt ourselves above another, ever, because of who God has shown us we are. And I don't look at you as a sinner. I look at me as a sinner. And see, that's where it has to start. This is what showed up on the yard Friday to be unloaded, this guy in this truck. And as I thought about this is what, I guess, where this kind of come from, I reckon. He had this stuff all over his truck. And man, everybody would ride by and look at it. And the conductor and the engineer and the people from turnouts and all these people were coming by, and they ride by and they take pictures and stuff. And I mean, it was right in your face, Jesus Christ. Well, that does something, I got to tell you. Now, see, this guy, he's an evangelist. This is what an evangelist does. It's not what an elder does. It's what an evangelist does. He puts Jesus Christ right up in your face, right in the middle of people he don't know, because all he wants to do is tell you about Jesus Christ. That's the heart of an evangelist. And he drove this truck up on the yard, and I told him, I said, I never told him I was a preacher. I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to take a picture of your truck, you don't mind. He said, oh, yeah, sure. He said, you know, the funny thing is, he says, people have to process this in their own way. He said, some people kind of come out and look and talk. And he said, other people take pictures. And he said, I don't know what they use their pictures for. He says, but I don't have to say anything. He said, I just get to tell people about Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's effective on a lot of people. But for a lot of people, it just turns them off. If you get upset at the name of Christ, I can't really stand behind that that's okay. But what I'm saying is there's always different ways to bring Christ to people. Okay, because as an elder, this is not the way that I would do it. I'm not flamboyant that way. I'd be flamboyant, but not that way. Okay, he brings this truck up on the yard, and people drive by and they're taking some pictures and stuff. And so he talks to me a little bit, and he says, you know what I like about this? He says, I drive up into a community, and he says, people see me and they get to ask me questions. And I thought, what are they seeing? They're seeing a guy. I believe this is the way the majority of the world sees this when this truck shows up. They're seeing a guy that says, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm a Christian. I'm better than you are. I'm saved and you're not. I know about Christ and you don't. That's why I could never do this. This is not the way that I could teach somebody. But a lot of those people see this, And they walked away. They saw this truck, and the only person that he got to talk to was me. And I never told him I was a preacher. It was shorthanded that day. It was a couple trucks, and we had to get this guy out of here and move on. But I told him, I said, you know, I said, it's good. I'm sure that you get to talk to a lot of people. And he moved on. But all this guy was showing right here is, hey, look at me, I'm a sinner, and I want to tell you about the guy that can save you. But see, the proof, the fact is that the world looks at us, and they don't like us because they think that we're better than others. Why is that? Why is that? Do you think it's because that we throw this in their face, but we're not living what we're preaching? I would have to say that that would probably be the biggest thing. Is that when you say that you're a Christian, but you're not acting any different or doing anything different than anybody else? How do they know? And you're waving this flag saying you're a Christian, and they can't tell any difference between your life and their own. We don't see in Scripture where anybody comes to invite people to church. These people came into other people's life, and you know what they did? They taught them and showed them about Jesus Christ. They did. And because they did that, that's what brought people to church. They got involved in their life. They cared about those people. they found out who they were and what their problems were, and they could relate to those things. And because they were able to do that, people saw past that person and they saw Christ. This right here, man, I don't know. I can't. This just doesn't work for me. The guy we had here before, Bob, this was him. He drove a truck and he had three crosses on his truck, and he had on the back of it or on the side or whatever said, "Preacher Bob." He wanted people to know that he was going to do some preaching. He wanted people to know that he was here to talk about Christ. And he did. There's a room full of people. We were sitting somewhere, and he said, he was talking to the person next to him, didn't even know him, said, "You know, I used to be a Baptist, but now I'm a Christian." And she said, "What?" And he said, "I used to be a Baptist, and now I'm a Christian." And he's sitting there in a room full of people, and he said it about as loud, I guess, as he could without yelling. Because he wanted people to hear that statement. And he wanted to evoke a reaction from them. That's an evangelist. That brings you, that kind of dedication will bring you to church. Because they get involved. But then it takes someone to teach you the fundamentals and to go on past who Christ is. Because it is an elder's job to get you to see who you are. And the best that I can tell you what Scripture says is that we have the knowledge of our own sin in our life. I don't have that knowledge of your sin in your life. I've got mine, but I don't have yours. So what God is asking you to do today is, given the knowledge that that shows that you're a sinner and the issues that you have to work on them, work on them. Make a difference. Because He's asked you to do this because He's given you something that I don't even have and you don't even have of me. He's got the knowledge of sin. The thing that's going to keep you from standing before Him on Judgment Day, forgiven. And when we stand before Him on Judgment Day, what are we going to say? "I didn't know." Of course we knew. I know what I hunger for. I know the things that I want. I know the things that tempt my mind and that pull me away. And I have to work on those. And you don't know what they are. But you know what does it to you. And so you have to work on those things. And God is merciful enough to bring this truck right up in our middle of our life and to say, sin is a disease and He has the cure. And He put it right in the face of all these people that say they're Christians but don't act like it. Because He goes all over the place as a trucker. So what are we going to do with the knowledge of sin that God has given us in our life? The first thing that we have to do is realize that if we're a sinner and that He's going to redeem us, something has to change. How many times have we wanted to make a right change? We've wanted to make a difference, but we just don't. God has offered us a place where we can come and wash our sins away. And He's told us, repent and be baptized. See, that's our act of repentance. Well, we can certainly say we change all the time. We can say, "Man, I won't ever do that again." And you know what? You might not. You might not, but you might. And God knows you might. So what He's asking for is an act of repentance that will seal us with a promise that He has given us. "You have come before me faithfully and done what I've asked, and I'm going to give you a promise that I will fulfill my promise to you, a guarantee," and that's the Holy Spirit. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit." And He says that is a promise that is made to you. A promise. And He says, on that day when you stand before me in judgment, and all that knowledge of sin that you brought before yourself and that you allowed me, that you didn't push it away, that you didn't turn it away, that you acknowledge this and you did something about this. On that day when you stand before me, He says, your life will be hidden in my Son. But only for those that have done the plan of salvation that He has asked for. Because so many people today will just tell you that all you have to do is believe that He will do this. And that's not it. There's something more. Y'all know that. But with the knowledge of sin that God has given us, something, surely there should be something that we could cleanse ourselves that we could see. And he says, that watery grave of baptism, that's what it does. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?